And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I am a practitioner of the dark arts in a little county down in Southeast Texas. My friends decided it would be a good idea, since I happen to be the only source of dark wisdom in these parts, for them to send me a bunch of questions and then let me answer them, and then we're going to distribute it so that we can get the bad word out to all you folks out there in the interwebs. And so that's what we're going to do here. Now, I got the first question is actually from my friend Cletus, which is kind of amusing, as I'll explain later. And it says, "Dear Philo," well, thank you for calling me dear. I appreciate the sentiment there, Cletus. "What is the big deal about Florida, and why is Florida always getting all of the press when it comes to dark, terrible things?" Well, Cletus, I've done a little research on this, and since I've been alive since before the interwebs, I had to do that research the hard way, so y'all don't really realize it, but back when I was a boy, if you wanted to see pictures of naked people, you had two choices. You had National Geographic and Shoplifting. But anyway, I've done some research on it, and Florida's in an interesting place on the continent. If you look at it, it does kind of look like the United States forgot to zip up its dungarees, if you understand what I'm talking about. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, ask a teenager. I'm sure they'll cheerfully explain it to you. But it's just that being not really the southernmost part of everything, but darn near close, it has the gravitational pull to grab everything that's not real lighthearted and kind of drag it down in there. Now, the folks in Florida tend to come in two different categories. You see, they're very explicit. It's the folks that went to Florida because they wanted to go to Florida, and the folks that were born in Florida and have not yet figured out how to escape. And so there's this kind of accumulation of your darker sensibilities down there, but because there's so dang much sunlight, seeing as how it's down and real close to the equator, the only place you can get closer to the equator is down in South Texas and Brownsville, and that's a whole another story for a whole nother time. Anyway, you get a lot of people doing really, really dark, dumb, crazy things out in broad daylight. And if you're doing dark things in the dark, everybody goes, "Oh, that's just dark things in the dark, that's evil." I understand that. But if you do dark things in broad daylight, then you're just a whack job, and there's an awful lot of them out there, you see. So that's part of the reason why Florida gets all that PR, especially since we've got the advent of the interwebs. And so that's the thing you got to worry about. You don't have to worry too much about any supernatural stuff in Florida due to the fact that the human beings are pretty much taking up all of the crazy underwear on your head, running around, go nuts stuff. Although there are some creatures out there you got to be careful of. And Cletus did have a follow-up I just noticed on the back of this here, this piece of paper. It says, "And what about we're alligators?" Well, all right, Cletus, you did ask, so I feel obliged to kind of explain to you what it is that the situation with the weir alligators is. Now, these are weir alligators and not weir crocodiles, and there is a difference. One of the things you can tell the big difference about is you will find very few weir crocodiles in Florida or near it, as a matter of fact. You have to go quite some distance to encounter a weir crocodile unless they managed to get an airplane ticket, but not a lot of other countries are sending folks into the United States right now, so it's not as much of a concern as you might think. But the weir alligator's got a pointy snout, their long pointy snout, and it's still got the same short stubby legs and little blunt stubby claw tip fingers as your weir crocodile, but your weir crocodile does tend to be a bit larger. Now, since the weir alligator's not as big as the weir crocodile, you got a lot of weir alligators out there with what you might just call an inferiority complex, and so they are kind of feisty. But the good news here is that if you are forewarned about the existence of weir alligators, you are able to prepare yourself to defend yourself against a weir alligator attack, which is, you know, convenient for those of us who are not planning to be assaulted and maimed by a weir alligator anytime in the immediate future. The most important thing you can do to defend yourself against a weir alligator attack is to have a moon pie on your person, and if you're like me, that's not gonna be a problem now, is it? I mean, that's like that big pocket in the front of the overalls pretty much made for tucking a couple of moon pies in there just in case you might need one. And in the event that you are, in fact, assaulted by a weir alligator, the best advice I have is to pull a weir moon pie. That's a whole other story, and I'll talk about that later. But to pull a moon pie out of that pocket in front of your coveralls and throw it one direction and then skedaddle off in the opposite direction there. This is one of the few times when not moving at a right angle to the incoming danger is actually a good idea. But we'll talk about that in a little while too, I suppose, depending on whether or not this here technology actually survives the first couple of these episodes I'm recording. Anyway, but you throw that moon pie off in the distance as far as you can. Basically, you hook it like it was a hammer you hit yourself in the thumb with. And the weir alligator, being a southern creature, will of course be naturally attracted to the moon pie, as well as to the sudden motion that you have caused by hooking the moon pie way off in the distance over yonder. Now, weir alligators do have short, stubby legs, but I will tell you, those suckers are fast. They skedaddle like nobody's business. Skedaddling, for those of y'all from up north, is a lot like running, but there's a lot more knee and elbow activity going on. We can talk about that later when we get into the ritual dancing part of our conversation in this here series. But anyway, the thing about it too is you don't just have the advantage of them having to skedaddle after the moon pie, but then you also have the advantage that it's going to take them some time to get into that there moon pie if you have not done them the benefit of unwrapping the moon pie from its cellophane envelope. And a lot of people, you know, will say, well, why, they just bite right through it. So you'd be surprised how few weir alligators are fond of having cellophane in with their moon pie, so they gotta unwrap that sucker. And they have a disadvantage in that, and they got these little short, stubby arms and a really long snout. And in order to get their eyes down to where they can see it, the moon pie, I mean, because they can see the end of their snout real easy. It's right there, you know, in front of them. Even though they don't really have binocular vision, they kind of look kind of semi-cross-eyed at it. And I tell you something, if you ever seen a weir alligator looking cross-eyed at its own nose, it is one of the funniest things you're ever going to see while your life is in mortal danger. But they have to go out there, they have to fetch that moon pie down, then they got to try to tear it open, and they either have to do it entirely by touch, and weir alligators are not that nimble and dexterous, or try to bite it open, and they can't bite it open with it in their hands because their hands are so close to their body and their nose is so long, so they got to like pin it down with a rock so that they can get at it with their teeth. Like, you know, it's like the world's least effective serrated blade, because you can chomp real good when you're a weir alligator, but it's really hard to do a sawing that action with that, especially because they basically have no neck. So after pinning that rock, that moon pie down with the rock there, then they gotta tear it open, and then I've already, you know, they're already one, frustrated, and two, disappointed, because they put a rock on the moon pie, and that's kind of diminished the deliciousness of the moon pie. And I'd said that to Cletus once, and he kind of looked at me funny and said, I don't think there's any way you can diminish the tastiness of a moon pie. I said, well, you could set it on fire. And he said, hey man, that actually sounds like a pretty cool idea. Flaming moon pie. Ooh, flaming moon pie on a stick. And we decided to take that to the Texas State Fair, and we opened up a flaming moon pie on a stick booth there at the Texas State Fair. And Well, that's why we're not allowed back at the Texas State Fair, so we decided to take our remaining stock of Flamin' Moon pies on a stick and take it out to the street there. And it's really kind of surprising how few people look at you with fondness when you advance upon them bearing a Flamin' Moon pie on a stick, or in Cletus's case, an entire tray of Flamin' Moon pies on a stick. We actually built a fireproof tray for that very purpose. And, well, there was a lot of running and screaming. We're not allowed back in Nacogdoches anymore because of that, and we decided we would just take it door to door. And that was kind of a challenge because we kind of got pulled over almost immediately, because first thing you got there is you got all these Flamin' Moon pies in the back of the pickup truck, and the pickup truck's on fire, so you got to pull over, and then you got to extinguish the pickup truck, and then you got to reignite the moon pies, and then you got to re-extinguish the pickup truck. And we were saying, well, what are you doing? Well, we're selling moon pies. And we tried to show him how we were going to do it. Cletus was going to stand a safe distance away from the door while I rang the doorbell with his little fireproof tray full of moon pies. So we put the moon pies on, the Flamin' Moon pies, into the tray, and we put it on Cletus. And then we had to put out Cletus, and then we had to relight the moon pies, and then we had to put out Cletus again. And basically we were let off with a warning, but that's... Now, what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.